Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Romans 16. The book of Romans, chapter 16. We'll read together verse 13. Romans 16, verse 13. Hear the word of the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. This is, of course, the Apostle Paul, as he's finishing off this great and lofty letter to the book of Romans, is remembering some of the men and women who poured into his life and were an encouragement to him throughout his ministry. And he remembers this dear woman who was a mother to him. And boy, now there's a loaded phrase, right? Not a physical mother, but a woman who came alongside of him and provided for his needs and nurtured and cared for the Apostle Paul. And we don't know her name, but she was just a dear woman who quietly served one of the greatest apostles who ever lived, the apostle to the Gentiles. And it's known only to God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this reminder through your word, Father, of the quiet ways that mothers serve in our midst, oftentimes behind the scenes, caring, nurturing, praying, blessing. Thank you for this special day today that we've set aside to honor them for that role. Thank you, God, for blessing us with mothers who've reflected the heart of God to us. And now, Father, we pray that in these few quiet moments we have together this morning, our hearts and minds would be turned in gratefulness to the way you've blessed us with caring, loving mothers. And Father, thank you that it's a reflection of your heart's love for us. Open our eyes to see this anew and afresh this morning, God. And Father, I pray that you would keep me from saying anything that's not in keeping with the truth of your word, so that when people hear your word preached, they would see you, and that they would see Christ, and that he would be magnified in our midst, and that his salvation would be etched into our hearts and minds. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm grateful to Pastor Aaron, who reminded us again, you know, of how it's a bittersweet day for many, right? Some of us have lost our mothers. Some of us are new mothers. And that's so much what life is about, right? We share together in blessing and sorrow, and they oftentimes come hand in hand. And when I use that expression, I'm reminded of a dear lady that I lost this week. A lady who was very much a mother to me. She was a widow for many, many years and had become, in many ways, a spiritual mentor to Lisa and I in the time that we were up north. She was a woman who had suffered tremendous hardship in her life. She knew what it was to have pain and to experience both emotional and physical pain. But she would often testify in that way. She would often say to me, Tim, when things were going really rough for me, she would say, Tim, you know, blessings and hardship and trials come hand in hand. And you've got to rejoice in the blessings and persevere through the trials. And she was a lady who would testify to the fact that, you know, she wouldn't change a thing. In spite of all the hardship she'd gone through for so many years, she wouldn't change a thing for all she had learned of Christ's love and his provision for her. Mary, her name was Mary, was a true spiritual mother to Lisa and I, and not only to us, but to many people in our congregation at that time. And the memory of this dear saint and many others like her has prompted me this morning to kind of want to consider the wider spectrum of what it means to be a mother. You know, when we think of mothers, we often, and rightly associate mothers with the traditional mothering role. You know, a woman who has children of her own that she nurtures and cares for. And we've celebrated some of the new mothers in our congregation this morning. But I want to step back for a moment and look at mothering from a broader perspective. And don't get me wrong, it's not for the sake of minimizing what traditional mothers do, but for the sake of calling our attention to the mothering that every woman does and how this mothering nature reflects the very heart of God. When I think of a mother, beyond that traditional mothering role, I think of another dear saint, and her name was Esther. Do you remember Esther? We lost Esther a couple of years ago. But here was a woman, she was from the Barbados, she had moved to the UK to study nursing, and then came from England and emigrated to Canada and became a nurse, and she had never married. She had no children of her own, but she was a spiritual mother to so many people in our city and in our church. She prayed for me. She straightened me out after the service when she thought I went a little too far. Can't imagine that. She prayed and she taught me the example of faithful love. And interesting to note, she nursed in the pediatric unit in the hospital in North Bay and would look after new moms. And, you know, she was such a true mother in that role. She was amazing. I remember visiting there in the unit and seeing Esther hard at work being a mother to these young mothers, even though she had not been a mother herself. And so we said, well, how did that work? She was a spiritual mother to them. Loving on them, loving their children and those little babies and caring for them and teaching these young moms how to care for them. And you know, she was just edgy enough to know how to, you know, drive the message across when she needed to. Esther, in her faithful love and nature, nurturing spirit, was a true mother to our church. And in Romans 16, the passage that we read this morning, verse 13, as the apostle wraps up this monumental letter to the Roman Christians, he writes, "Greet Rufus, chosen the Lord, and don't forget his mother, because she was a mother to me too." Isn't that awesome? A short verse, but man, is it packed. You see, motherhood can take a lot of different forms beyond just its traditional role. Regardless of your call in life, whether you're a homemaker, or whether you're a working mom, a widow, a grandmother, single woman, or a mentor, as women this morning, you have, to varying degrees, a natural, loving faithfulness and nurturing spirit that equips every single one of you to be a true mother. It makes your contribution unique to your family, to society, and most importantly, to your place here in the body of Christ at Emmanuel. Moms, we cannot do without you. I hope you know that. We need you. We need your loving faithfulness and your nurturing spirit. And you know, it's interesting to note that when God wanted to communicate the nature of his loving, nurturing heart, what do you think he looked to as an example? He looked to mothers. He looked to women as emblems of this nurturing spirit. And he's created women with this special gift. Ladies, you're unique image bearers of God this morning, in that you reflect his faithful, loving, and nurturing heart to everyone around you. And I hope, anew and afresh this morning, you'll realize the part that you play in helping people see and understand the heart of God for them. So first of all, if you have your notes with you, I'd like to suggest that all godly women in this broader mothering role provide us with living emblems of God's loving faithfulness. And by this I mean that the motherly affection God has built in to the DNA of every single woman here this morning never gives up on the object of her affection. A mother, more than any of us could possibly understand, will give her life for her children. Some of you moms here have had children that have strayed for years, but you've never given up on them. You've never stopped praying for them. You've never stopped loving into their lives. You can't, because it's your very nature to love unconditionally. You know, I'm not saying here that men don't do that, but women have a capacity to show loyal love in a very special way. In Isaiah 49, when God wanted to assure wayward Israel of his undying love and care for them, he used the analogy of a mother. And he said this, Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forsaken me. That was the word on the street. God doesn't care about us anymore. Then God responds this way in verse 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she's born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Ladies, that loyal love that is built into you, that manifests itself through your love for your children and your loyal love for others, whether or not you're ever called to have children, is a reflection of the covenant love of God for his people. That love is a reminder that you're made in the image of God, and you display for all of us how God loves us. He loves you with a love that's undying, and that will stick with us through thick and thin, and will pursue us to the ends of the earth. The idea of God abandoning us is as foreign to God as a mother abandoning her newborn. And it happens, doesn't it? Right? It happens when mothers do that, and we go, how could they possibly do that? It's just counterintuitive, right, to a mother. And we realize that. And likewise, it's not something that God would ever do to us. And Mother's Day ought to bring us to the realization that there's someone who loves us even more than our mothers could. Let me ask you this morning, have you responded to that love this morning? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, the Apostle John writes this, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is what love is. Not that we loved God, because we're incapable of doing that on our own, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sin." Have you responded to that love this morning? And maybe you're a mom here this morning and you're saying, you know, Pastor Tim, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm one of those moms who abandoned my child. I'm one of those moms who was broken. I struggled with that love that you're talking about. If your life is filled with shame and guilt over your past, there's somebody that you can take it to this morning and experience forgiveness from. And that is a God who is perfect in his love and faithfulness and mercy. Take it to Christ. Take it to him and experience his true and lasting love. Secondly, I'd like to suggest that all godly women in this broader understanding of mothering provide us with living emblems of God's comfort. And many of you here this morning, I know you need God's comfort. You're struggling with illness. You're struggling with loss. We all need to experience this comfort that comes from God. And again, ladies, you have a unique place as spiritual and emotional and physical mothers, because built into you is the image of God as a comforter. There's no place more precious and comforting than in the arms of a mama. Let me tell you, there is something about it. Sin, like I said before, sometimes sadly corrupts that nature in moms. But for the most part, it's natural for a mother and a woman to be able to give comfort in time of need. This is just such a special and precious gift to a church, right? Men, it's not always in us to do that naturally, is it? When Jordan would come in with a scrape, you know, and he'd be crying, I'd look at him and say, you know, buddy, that's just too bad. I bet you that hurts. And then I'd walk away, right? What would Lisa do? She'd take the little dude up in her arms, you know, and she'd love on him and give him a Band-Aid and then, you know, give him a Freezy. And I'm standing there going, what are you doing? You know, it's only a scrape. Sock it up, little dude. Right? Oh, man, such love and comfort, eh? You know, I think that's the reason why God, when he wanted to communicate something about his care, he used the analogy of a mother. In Isaiah 66:12, he speaks through the prophet Isaiah to Israel, who had lost their nation as a result of their rebellion against God. And God speaks a promise of comfort and hope to them to restore them one day as a nation. And he writes there, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, O Jerusalem. And you will be forever comforted. And then in Luke 13, as Jesus prepares to enter Jerusalem before his crucifixion, on the Mount of Olives, he cries out, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would have none of it. These verses remind us that when we sin and when we fail God, he's not going to look down on us and say, suck it up, buddy. When we come to God in our brokenness, right, and our shame, he's not going to blow us off and say, yeah, you just need to toughen up a bit in life, kid. No. The presence of all our women here this morning remind us that instead, God will gently restore us and heal us and forgive us. Thank you, moms, for that reminder. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, the Apostle Paul writes, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his love towards us in this. While we were still rebels, while we were still sinners, while we were still doing whatever the heck we wanted to do, Christ died for us. Psalm 86:15 says, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Have you experienced that comfort this morning? Have you experienced the comforting arms of God wrapped around you, speaking words of healing and forgiveness and mercy to you this morning? Do you know that in a real way in your life this morning? Do you want to? It can be found through faith in Christ. And if you're wondering, Pastor Tim, what does that even look like, man? I don't know what you're talking about. Listen, you can talk to anybody who's on the worship team, talk to any one of our elders, talk to myself, my wife. Maybe you were brought here by a Christian friend. You ask them about what that means. You ask them about that invitation to experience Christ as your comforter this morning. Thank you, ladies. that you're here this morning as a visible reminder to us of a God who will pick us up when we're down and comfort us when we're in sorrow and sadness and affirm us when we're full of shame. A God who will forgive us and speak words of mercy to us. And let us thank God that our moms are a reflection of his gracious nature in this way this morning. Now, in closing, as we consider just how diverse this concept, this idea of mothering is and how it applies in so many ways to women in general, I wanted to be able to express appreciation for all our ladies here, regardless of where you're at on that mothering continuum. And I borrowed a bit of a, I don't know if it's a reflection or a poem from this blog of a young woman named Amy Young. It's reprinted on the back of your bulletins, if you have your bulletins with you. You can see it there. And she challenges us, and I think rightly, as we have a bit this morning, to think about this wider spectrum of mothering. And let me just read those words on the back of the bulletins, and I'm going to leave you with this. I think it's so well thought through. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. And don't forget the cake. That's all part of it. We want to celebrate with you. But then, to those who lost a child this year, we want to mourn with you. We want to come alongside of you and mourn and comfort. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. We really do. Many of us have walked that road, right? We have the scars to prove it. Go to some of these older women in our congregation and give them a hug, right? Thank you for surviving so that I can get advice from you. To those who experience loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. And we mourn deeply. We can't imagine the pain. Some of us can. And so we want to walk with you through that path. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes and prods and tears and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things we don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you and we're thankful for you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. But to those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you and we think of you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experienced abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience and our hearts go out to you. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and overall the testing of motherhood, we're better for having you in our midst, well tested. To those who have aborted children, we remember them, and we remember you this morning. I want to remind you that God has forgiven you. If you'll just turn to him, he wants to wrap his arms around you. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way that you longed for it to be. To those who step parent, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, yet that dream's not to be, we grieve with you. To those who will have emptier nests in the upcoming year, We grieve and rejoice with you. To those who place children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness. And remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you, ladies. Mothering's not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. And today we remember you. Let's pray.